So I just tried to give you like 4 years of study in like an hour. And I don't know if any of it was clear. So I think next on the agenda, and I don't know how much I ate into my time, but is Q&A. And I know if you're impressed by what I said, perhaps you just want to sit and think about it, but I want to open it up for questions. Does anybody have any questions? I just unloaded on you. Like, I literally gave you years of my studies in the last hour. So I want to know if there's any clarifications I can make, if you guys have any questions whatsoever. Yes. Yeah. So from what I understand, our Protestant brothers and sisters do not believe that 1st and 2nd Maccabees are inspired scripture. Now, the debate between Protestants and Catholics about what is inspired scripture does go back to the Jewish texts. So for instance, originally when there was debate some thousand years ago about whether a particular book was inspired scripture, the language that it was written in was used as a large indicator of that. So for instance, I'm blanking on what it is now. I think it was if some of the Protestant reformers said that if we can't find a particular book in Hebrew, then it must not be inspired. Because all the scriptures, all the Old Testament was originally in Hebrew. And then it was translated into Greek. But we thought, I mean, if we have a Greek text and we don't have a Hebrew text, the assumption is just that we lost the Hebrew text somewhere. But that's really the root of the problem, from what I understand, is that Protestant reformers said, well, we don't have the Hebrew text, and so they don't have the Hebrew text of 1st and 2nd Maccabees. From what I understand, I'm like flying on the seat of my pants right now. This is from what I know. And so they said it's not scripture. So I'm just going to give you a quick tidbit. Have you guys heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls? And you probably know, like, oh, the Dead Sea Scrolls were a really big find, but you don't know why, and that's how I was for a really, really long time. Well, the light bulb went off when one of my professors explained to me it was a huge find. The Dead Sea Scrolls were a huge find because in the Dead Sea Scrolls, we found Hebrew copies of those books of the Bible that the Protestant reformers said couldn't be scripture because we didn't have Hebrew copies of them. Okay? So to answer your question, no. If 1st and 2nd Maccabees is in the Protestant Bible. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, some Protestant scholars are obviously like, okay. But I don't know too much. Right. So when someone asks a Catholic theologian, can you tell me where in scripture you find the implicit belief in purgatory? We turn to Maccabees, because Maccabees recounts a story of the Jews praying for the dead, right? Well, you wouldn't pray for the dead, to be saved. You wouldn't pray for the dead if either there was no afterlife, which was a viable option for some of the Jews. Some of the Jews, even in Jesus' time, did not believe in the afterlife. Either there was no afterlife, or there was a place other than heaven, right? And so we cite that as the place where we find the implicit doctrine of purgatory. Yes. Yes. How do you not just stay Jewish, maybe? Well, I mean, the Jews... So I think, and you'll have to tell me if I'm representing your question right, I think what he's just trying to get at is, how did Jesus go about steering beliefs in a different way other than Judaism? Because I think I've spent this entire talk pretty much tooting the horn of the Jews, right? But Jesus did this too. People don't pay attention to this. So Jesus said, in one part in scripture, salvation is from the Jews, right? So we should toot the Jewish horn, right? Okay, that sounds a little funny, but maybe, is that where your question is kind of coming from? I mean, I spent this whole time talking about the Jews and how they're the chosen people, and then I'm like, but we're Catholic, right? So I gave a whole class on the book of Acts, and I think I was able to draw that out more. How the church is the fulfillment of the Davidic kingdom. That was basically the thesis. But as far as, like, how did Jesus go about saying, like, I mean, he obviously didn't say, I'm going to make a new religion, right? But what did he do? He did something really radical. What was it? He said, I am God. And we're going to talk in the discussion questions that I made, we're going to talk a little bit about the implications of that for Jesus to just say, I am God, okay? I don't know if that really adequately answers your question. One more question? You have a question? Right. So, theologians will take that passage and they will say, this is an example of how we on earth are given a foretaste of heaven. Okay? So, I mean, we are given this most poignantly, I would say, in the Eucharist. So the Eucharist is not the end-all goal. Like, when one of my professors liked to say, when we go to heaven, it's not going to be like, where's Mass at? I'm going to Mass. Because it's like, heaven is the whole point. Like, heaven is perpetual, blissful, literally incomprehensible, communion with God, right? So we get a foretaste of that in the church here today. And so I'm glad you brought up that passage, because it's true. We do have some of what we will have in heaven here, but it's only a foreshadowing of it. Okay? So let's... Okay, it's a quickie. So the wisdom books and the historical books, the Jews lumped them into the writings. Yeah, we just divide them a little bit more, and that's why I brought up our division, because it helps to clarify the nature of those books.